Hi, I'm Sarah.
I'm Lucy.
I'm Jaden.
And today we will be talking about immigration from Cuba. We will discuss Cuba's history, what's going on now, and immigration story, as well as how Cuban immigrants have had a positive influence on American society. In 2014, according to CNN, U.S. President Barack Obama announced his plans to normalize diplomatic relations with Cuba and ease economic restrictions on the nation. After years of a torn relationship between the two countries, 4 years ago, moves were made to repair it and its immigration situation. But besides the country, what exactly is Cuba and what happened there? The Caribbean island of Cuba lies approximately 90 miles south of the Florida Keys and resides in the Atlantic Ocean. Overall, the country spans 42,426 square miles and has a population of 11.48 million. As stated by EveryCulture.com, at least 50% of the population is classified as mulatto. This means they're mixed European and African descent. In Cuba, Spanish is the most common language, as nearly all of the population exclusively speak it. Now, moving on from the basics, let's get into Cuba's more complex political situation. In 1959, Fidel Castro, a Marxist supporter, took power and became the leader of Cuba. He created a new communist government, which led to limited speech, press, and the takeover of land and businesses. And those who opposed Castro's rule were ordered to imprisonment and sometimes even execution. So when most of the Cuban population opposed to Castro's dictatorship, it led to hundreds of thousands of Cubans fleeing the country seeking safety in the United States, primarily in Florida. Now, Cuba had to deal with quite a lot of communism and dictatorship, but somehow it managed to keep its culture strong and alive. Whether it be food, art, or music, Cuban culture has been represented not only in Cuba, but also here in America. One of America's most well-known cities, Miami, Florida, has had a large Cuban influence that's reflected in its shops, restaurants, and overall daily life that's due to the city's large Cuban immigration population. In the past, the main reason for Cuban immigration to the U.S. lied with politics and the escape of Fidel Castro's communist rule. But more recently, it seems people are migrating due to economic reasons. As Castro's legacy on Cuba remains after his death, Castro's younger brother, Raul Castro, took control over Cuba, continuing its communist dictatorship. Since Cuba is one of the last remaining communist dictatorships in the world, it's led to the country being brought into an insufficient economic system due to the state having complete control over the economy. Now, since the country is losing the economic support they received from the Soviet Union, the Cuban government is nearly bankrupt, and the Cuban workers have little hope of a new private sector in the economy being able to create more jobs. Heritage, an economical index site, says workers do not earn living wages, the agriculture sector is starved for investment, and the banking system is primitive. This has led to many Cubans heading to America in hope of a better life. Economic-based immigration from Cuba to the United States began around 1980 with the immigration wave called the Mariel Boatlift. This happened after Fidel Castro allowed for Cubans who lived in America to come back and visit relatives in Cuba. And once those who lived in Cuba saw how well the Cuban Americans were doing, they were prompted to immigrate to America themselves. Castro then, after pressure from the public, opened up the Mariel port for anyone who wished to immigrate by boat, which led to around 125,000 Cubans coming to America. And over the years, as Cuba's economy has only worsened, this number has risen, with more Cubans immigrating over to primarily Florida due to its close proximity, leading to around 1.3 Cubans currently living in the U.S.
Now that increase is dramatically reversing through the removal of the white foot, dry foot policy. Cuban immigrants are facing mass deportation. Recently, thousands will be facing deportation due to the removal of old policies. According to the Miami Herald, detention or deportation is a new reality for most Cubans who try to enter the United States without visas. This is happening because of the removal of the wet foot, dry foot policy, in which allowed anyone who fled Cuba to the U.S. the ability to pursue residency after 1 year of stay. Since this policy has disappeared, immigrants will have to get a visa to stay in the U.S. or they have to request asylum, which usually gets denied. Other news outlets report that the United States will be will be reducing staff at the U.S. Embassy in Havana, Cuba. According to the State Department, the embassy will continue to operate with minimum personnel necessary to perform core diplomatic and consular functions, similar to the level of emergency staffing maintained during ordered departures. This started when former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson reduced staff due to the unknown illness of only 24 U.S. staff members. This is significant because it makes diplomatic relations worse between Cuba and the U.S., and less staff in the embassy means that there are less people to give visas to Cuban travelers. Ultimately, one might conclude that this is just another act of the U.S. limiting immigration to our country and restricting great ideas and talents other Cuban immigrants have brought to America, such as actor and director Andy Garcia.
Conditions became progressively worse for us. The government took our land, money that was in the bank was taken too. The state passed a law and parents lost their right to their own children, said Andy Garcia. Garcia, director and actor, fled Havana, Cuba at age 5 1/2 in order to escape Fidel Castro's tyranny. Garcia says he'll never go back until his native land has been freed from Fidel Castro's tyranny and repression. As a young kid, Andy remembers the Bay of Pigs invasion on April 17, 1961. This was when 1,300 armed Cuban exiles attempted to overthrow Fidel Castro. However, this did not end well, and the fight between these armed Cubans and Fidel's troops ended within 24 hours. In mid-1961, Andy's mom brought him a glass of orange juice and told him that they were leaving for Miami the next day. He knew they weren't coming back for a while, and the next day, Andy, his brother, his sister, mother, and paternal grandmother left for Miami while Andy's dad stayed behind. Once they got to the airport, they had to wait in a glass-enclosed checkpoint before they could get on the flight. This room was called a fishbowl and is for searching and stripping anything valuable from Cuban immigrants before they can board the flight to the United States. Once they arrived in Miami, they had no money and ended up getting a one-bedroom motel for all five of them. 1 month later, Andy's father arrived and started working for a catering company that he later bought. Andy graduated high school and later attended Florida International University. As time went by, Andy studied theater at the Florida International University, where he then landed a role in Hollywood as a Latino gang member on the TV show Hill Street Blues. Andy Garcia is now living in California making movies, and originally when Garcia moved to the United States, he didn't have a meticulous plan for the rest of his life because he came here when he was 5 1/2. As you can see from Andy's story, not all immigrants have the same story nor the same outcome. She is Cuba. If you want to love her, you have to be with her, and you can't be with her in her most current state. It's the point of view of all exiles. You have to leave the thing you cherish most. Andy Garcia isn't the only famous Cuban immigrant. There are many famous Cuban immigrants enriching the world by contributing to the performing arts, such as actors, directors, and singers. Tonight, in this room full of music dreamers, we remember that this country was built by dreamers for dreamers chasing the American dream. I'm here on this stage tonight because, just like the dreamers, my parents brought me to this country with nothing in their pockets but hope. They showed me what it means to work twice as hard and never give up. And honestly, no part of my journey is any different from theirs. I'm a proud Cuban Mexican American born in Eastern Havana, standing in front of you on the Grammy stage in New York City. And all I know is, just like the dreamers, these kids can't be forgotten and are worth fighting for. Camila Cabello, songwriter and artist, immigrated from Havana, Cuba when she was 7 years old. Camila's parents wanted the best for Camila's education, so they decided to immigrate to the United States. When Camila was in ninth grade, she begged her parents for the opportunity to audition for the X Factor in Greensboro, North Carolina. Eventually, she joined the music group Fifth Harmony and began her career. She is now a solo artist, inspiring other immigrants to follow their dreams, no matter how large. As an immigrant, I appreciate far more than the average American the liberties we have in this country. Silence is the big enemy of mortality. I don't want our blunders in history to get repeated. Gloria Estefan was born in Havana, Cuba. Her and her family fled the tyranny of Fidel Castro like Andy Garcia when she was a toddler. Her dad was a Cuban soldier, so when they immigrated, he joined the United States Army and fought in Vietnam for 2 years. When her father returned, he was diagnosed with multiple scoliosis, so Gloria was left to care for her father and her younger sister while her mother worked during the day to support their family. Later in her life, she met Emilio Estevan, a keyboardist in a band, and they were looking for a lead singer until they met Gloria. She joined the band and sang on the weekends while attending the University of Miami. Eventually, she married Emilio Estevan, as well as their band became more popular beginning her career. All these stories demonstrate someone immigrating is starting from nothing and making it big. These contributions show that not all immigration stories are the same. We are a country where people of all backgrounds, all nations of origins, all languages, all religions, all races can make a home. America was built by immigrants, said Hillary Clinton. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you learned something new about Cuban immigrants.